Good morning. Today is Thursday, March the 22nd. I'm hoping it's wet enough for you guys.
Oh, yeah. Yes.
Yeah, okay. Hey, you brought toys.
I did, yeah.
What's that all about?
It's a wheel of probability. Oh. Actually, it's a secret decoder ring for locating Hitler.
Yeah, for people with really big hands?
Yes.
It's about a six inch circle.
I'll reveal my secrets in due time.
Spoken like an officer, huh?
Sign this.
Yeah. Oh, I would imagine that you guys have had an awful lot of internal discussion the last couple of days with this clown in Austin, Texas.
Yeah, I heard about that. That's wild.
Yeah.
It's over now, though, apparently.
Yeah, but I mean, the entire concept of, okay, how do we play this one out? Randomness, an individual that doesn't appear to be as an individual might appear to be, you know, the prototype, okay, all that kind of stuff.
Right.
It just is intriguing to me how things kind of evolve. With the social media and the various clues that leaves, that footprint, does that change the game of either apprehension or on the other side, the recruitment side? Yeah, of potential employees. I mean, is this just a source of a ton of information, regardless of what Zuckerberg has to say?
You know, I know on the recruitment and background investigation side, probably about a year and a half, 2 years ago, we had a saying where Facebook is the bread and butter of derogatory information for the people that apply with us. But what we kind of are seeing now is there's a bit of a duality. In other words, people have they have who they are if you meet them face to face, and then they have this other persona if you happen to meet their cyber face or cyber profile. And
that's where you're 6'4 and a beach guy,
right?
Yeah okay. Yeah, the blonde pack. Hair, the whole thing. Yeah, okay.
But you wonder how do these two personalities intersect, because sometimes they're so different. They really, really are. People will say things and do things under the guise of being anonymous online that they would never say to your face. Well, you would hope they would never say to your face, or at least have some social decorum to, you know, to edit that part out, right?
So, like, the pronoun use would be modified.
Yeah. Yeah, pronoun. Don't get us started on the pronouns, preferred pronouns these days.
Yeah. Yeah, it just some of these skill sets that are out there seem to be waning on one side, and the ability to express true feelings kind of seem to bubble up on the other side, but without the backbone to say it face to face.
Yeah, you see that as well. And, you know, expressing your opinion, obviously that could be a very good thing. But sometimes what we see is the rise in that expressed opinion also comes with a thinning of a person's skin online. You know, we're
heightened
easily
sensitivities.
Offended
and
you say the wrong thing or use the wrong pronoun out of ignorance, not so much that you're doing it on purpose. And suddenly there's an argument afoot.
Well, do you guys run into that, say, simple speeder, you pull somebody over. Okay. Somebody says a word, you flash, or you say a word, and you can tell that, you know, there's a physical change or a physical reaction to that word. Do they train you guys that at either post or at the academy coming into the program?
In the past, no, but I think with our current climate, there is a leaning towards trying to educate more, not only the cadets going through an academy, but officers out on the road now, and educate about where we're at right now in our society, and that is recognizing people or observing that there are differences in people. I'm still here trying to figure out how to properly verbalize things because, yeah, I'm not here to offend anyone either, but I'm trying to learn and understand what it is someone wants. And I don't always know that when I walk up to a car, like how someone prefers to be referred to. It yeah. used to be as simple as, well, you accidentally slip and say, here you go, sir. And it was, a ma'am in the car. And I apologize. It's it happens sometimes. Sometimes it's just a Freudian slip because your head's somewhere else. But it is important that we do educate, because we're here to serve the public, at least for us in our job. We serve the public, and, our personal beliefs go out the window. We work for an organization that's represented by us.
But your knowledge, your sensitivities, your recognitions of things are, the culture that you're in, but also the culture you grew up with. So, to say ma'am or sir, okay, certain traditional approaches with that, because somebody is dressing and it doesn't really leap out at you, and let's say the name is Terry. So, for somebody to take offense to those things, that heightened sensitivity stuff is kind of intriguing.
I've had a woman be offended because I said ma'am, and she was offended because she was too young to be called a ma'am. Now, I grew up in Louisiana, and I still, it's funny because I talk to my kids' teachers who are probably 20 years younger than I am, and I say, hey, well, yes, ma'am, yes, sir, no, sir. And they kind of look at me a little silly, like, I should be referring to you that way. You're 20 years older than me.
But it's not an age thing.
That's just how I was raised.
And you do that in, L.A., and they'll really wonder what's going on. Even more than they would normally just by seeing your smiley face.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, it's 8:19.
Listen to 980 AM for the best music. ABBA, Neil Diamond, Barbra Streisand, Billy Joel, and the Fifth Dimension. The all-time best are heard every day, all day long on 980 AM. We are easy radio. Easy on your ears and easy on your mind. This is memory-making music, and you'll love the memories you create. Tune in and hear the best music. Easy radio, 980 AM.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Times, 8:24. Now. We're back to Talk Shop this morning with Victor Aguilar and Paul Kraft from the CHP. Guys, as we're talking about sensitivity, particularly in an emotional setting. I was talking with one of my, with a client yesterday. I said, for you, somebody bringing in a vehicle, an auto body shop, is routine. That's your job. That's your normal. Okay. For those of us on the other side of the counter, this is a significant emotional event, even if it's just having your car hit in a parking lot and you're not there.
Right.
Okay. Significant. You're going to remember the year. You're going to remember the event. You're going to remember the car. You're going to remember every single little detail. For you, it's routine. And honest, I use a speeding ticket as a reference for him. Yeah, the big smile, and he understood exactly where we're going. But this concept of these heightened sensitivities as you guys are making contact, I would think that it could become almost debilitating to a certain extent for the officer. You come up, you want to make sure you don't use the wrong word, because if you do, that person isn't going to forget that forever, and it's going to be this ongoing legacy of how they were mishandled. I guess I can use that word, mishandled by a CHP. Well, really? You still got the job to do, regardless of whether or not somebody's feelings might be a little injured. How do you weigh that one?
Well, it's hard, and I think we have to have a balance between, the onus can't just be, and since we're talking about the microcosm of our job and what we're doing and relating it to that, it can't be all on us. The onus can't all be on us. We'll do our part for training, education, to understand. But when you walk up to a car I think there has to be something on the person in the vehicle to not be offended by something and to not, I don't think all people are this way, but there are those out there that just think that everyone should know and already be educated and should understand, but we don't.
Presumptions being made that...
Yeah, if we just...
Victor's smiling. He's not talking. He's just smiling.
if we just use the issue of pronoun use and a proper pronoun referring to someone, every officer that contacts somebody throughout the course of a day is not going to have we don't all have the same level of education, knowledge, experience, and walking up to a car, that person in the vehicle can't expect that officer to automatically know how they prefer to be recognized.
Were there studies done, and I presume that there must have been some sociological studies that were done, with officers, either CHP or law enforcement of any sort, during the 60s? Okay. And how the community interacted with officers at that point, and how the badge either reacted themselves internally, or how they had to adjust their behavior patterns because... of some of the social climate at the time. And now as we're moving into something that kind of feels somewhat approaching that, the polarization and either you're with me or you're against me, that kind of stuff.
Right.
If there are some lessons to be learned from, I don't even want to say how many years ago, let's just say years ago, right. And brought forward today to help the troops kind of make it through some of these strange times.
Yeah. Well, there's lessons to be learned from everything that we've ever experienced, right? And so certainly, the 60s had a lot of peaks as far as learning and new ideas being brought forth that were never introduced before that, right? One of the things that we look for in a candidate before we hire them is judgment. I mean, we evaluate their judgment, how they use that in life, how they interact with people, how they interact with coworkers, authority figures, all these things. So that way, when they do encounter, let's say on a traffic stop, and when you think about a traffic stop, like Paul was saying, it is a kind of a microcosm of life, but it's a finite amount of time. And usually it could be just under a few minutes. That's all we have to suss out what's going on, figure out where this person's coming from, what led to us even contacting them. That's not a lot of time. And within that time frame, we have to find out a lot of information. Now we have to pile on top of everything we've done historically. We have to pile on some of these social sensitivities.
Now, is that part of what the social media can provide you guys? That background, the sense of where somebody's coming from as a potential employee?
Well, yeah, absolutely. And I think also with on a community level as well. For example, if you know your neighbor, if something happens, if they leave their sprinklers on too long, you're not going to automatically assume the worst because you already know that person. You have a rapport with them, and you're more likely to assume, oh, it's just a one-time mistake. You didn't mean to flood my basement. Versus somebody that you're a stranger with. You don't have any history with this person, and you're probably meeting under probably not the most happy circumstances if it's between somebody in the community and a law enforcement officer with red lights on behind their vehicle.
Well, hey, don't forget everybody driving by looking.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah.
Yeah, there's
the occasional wave as somebody goes by. Yeah, I mean, all that.
A little toot of the horn.
Piling on top.
Yeah, it's a lot to do, and
I do like the concept of the indoor swimming pool, however.
Yeah.
All right, maybe not. KINS News and Information Time, it's 8:30.
We do as a community to make Humboldt a better place to work and live? The answer is to make sure our kids are literate, able to plan financially, move forward in their education so they are better prepared to enter our workforce, and become contributing and productive members in our society, community, and economy. How do we do it? Through the Decade of Difference Initiative. Visit decadeofdifference.org and find out how you, as a parent, student, or business owner, can help. It's the Decade of Difference. Be part of it.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 8:35. We're back to Talk Shop this morning with Victor Aguilar and Paul Kraft from the California Highway Patrol. Talk Shop presented by CDH Painting, Redec, American Ag Credit, and Lolita Cheese Factory. Paul, before in the first break, you were talking about your color wheel there. Kind of looks like a Pantone wheel of color. I don't sense, though, that you have that artistic flair to the extent that you'd be walking around with one of those. So what is that thing that you've got over there?
So coming up in April is Distracted Driver Awareness Month. And yesterday, actually the last 2 days, I was at Eureka High talking to, they don't have a formal driver's ed class, but their health class had me come in and speak for a couple hours each day. One of the things that we did talk about was distracted driving with teenage drivers. I'm not sure what your audience grouping is in the 15 to 19 demographic.
I think we call them kids and grandkids.
So, yes, and that would be my connection here, was that I would like to throw out just a couple of numbers. So you're right, I have this wheel, three layers, and it has some windows, and then labeled on the individual wheels are different distractions. And I just wanted to give an example of how much.
Well, make it a test.
Okay.
Make me look stupid.
So if you start with a baseline of just your standard probability of getting into a collision, and I will say with while texting and no other distractions and one passenger in a vehicle.
Now this So you and?
You're driving. Actually, this is based off of statistics for teenage drivers, but let's say you're teenage.
Well, I'm young at heart.
Mm-hmm. Okay. You're 17. You're 17 and you're driving a car. You have your cell phone in your hand, and you do either send or receive a text message and look down to read it, and you have one other passenger in
brother
your car.
Brother or sister or buddy in
correct.
The passenger
mm-hmm.
seat. Okay.
How much do you think your odds increase that you'll be involved in a collision now?
At that age, 15%.
Wow. You know, you're going to be way off. That's
okay.
939%. The odds go up.
Nine times.
Mm-hmm. How about, what did you say?
15.
15? So, yeah, a little less than that. Goes up nine times that you'll be involved in a collision. If you just add the distraction of two passengers in the vehicle, your odds go up 985% that
you'll
be involved in a collision.
Which is why they have restrictions of the numbers of passengers that you can have when you first get your license.
Yeah. Most teens are killed through traffic collisions, not suicide, not drug use, traffic collisions. And that's why in April we're going to have a huge focus. We have some extra enforcement days for distracted driving, not just for teens, but for all drivers. And we're also doing some programs with some of the schools, or I say we. I will be going and doing some programs with a couple of schools.
You're not dragging this fellow along?
No, he's... He's got to find us some quality recruits to get out on the road and enforce distracted driving.
Yeah.
But I did want to just kind of throw out that information, even though we're here at the end of March, leading up into April, since we're not scheduled to be back till the end of the month, just to put a bug in the ear of drivers, just to remember, put your phone down, keep your eyes on the road and focused, especially now that we're getting some winter weather again. And
distracted driving.
Mm-hmm.
Or let's just say cell phone. How prevalent is it?
You think at this point
intuitively
the word has got
we
out?
Know, but I mean, have there been studies done yet? What percentage of people driving, let's say, have their cell phone within arm's range? So if there's a ding or a buzz or whatever, it could be an eye, or it could be a grab, or maybe they have it right there with them.
Yeah. Any idea? And I don't know what the numbers are for that, but I'm sure if we Google
it. You're
not
much of a PIO, are you?
No, well,
maybe the second year.
It changed. 72%.
There you go. I knew you were dialed
in. Gonna, yeah, somebody can look it up
regionally,
and call
regionally.
Me out on it.
Well, it's.
It's a
made
lot.
This comment to myself yesterday coming back down from Brookings. I was at Myrtle and West, which is one of the big intersections in Eureka. One of the goofier ones, I think, in the entire northern part of the state. But, okay, we'll set aside that for a moment. And crossing 4th and 5th, somebody comes shooting past. It's like 7:15, 7:30, so it wasn't in rush hour. Zoom! Okay, fine. Pull in, and then they got in the turn lane onto Myrtle on the right side, which I... We have interesting discussions, my wife and I, about using the right-hand lane as a passing lane, but that's okay.
You talk with your wife?
Not when we're driving, though. Never. Yeah, right. So she comes smoking up, and it's a gal, early 20s. Using old guy reference, early 20s could be your early 30s. And her passenger was a guy working the cell phone thing. Okay, so, that blows that stereotype. It's not a young guy, it's a young gal. Driving really aggressive. Boom. She must have been, as soon as the light went, she must have been going 45 by the merge. Huh. Down. And I was thinking, okay, fast, young, but female, aggressive. Both of them had cell phones at the stop sign. I was saying how things have changed in the last 15 or 20 years.
Maybe they
years.
Were texting each other.
Yeah. Yeah, total communication. So I'm wondering, as you guys and gals are out there in the apprehension game or the public safety game, these trends that seem to be trend changes, but they're so compressed in their time frame, how do you stay abreast of what's going on and what to anticipate so that you don't get caught by surprise, not because it's abnormal, it's just that you're not able to follow the trends that quickly.
Constant training, update, just staying abreast of current trends, read the news, watch the internet, you'll see what's going on and what people are doing.
Are there significant trends that you guys see? In the last 2 years, big change. Okay, obviously texting and driving isn't 2 years old, but maybe the proclivity for people to use it has changed. Or you put it into the the new cars, the docking stations. Has that changed things?
I don't believe that it has. I think it's just as distracting to try and use it hands-free, to get it set up, to get it connected to your device. It's... But from what I see and the collisions we go to, it really hasn't changed. But we're trying to do as much education and enforcement as we can to change that and make it better.
Is Bluetooth now passé, or is it still being used? Is it still problematic?
Based on the people that I see still driving around talking on their phone and texting, I don't think so.
Okay.
I don't think so.
And they're not doing it safer now because of some of the changes?
No.
All right. KINS, News and Information Time, it's 8:43.
The Redwood Region Economic Development Commission and Fly Humboldt remind you that flying local is buying local and supports local jobs and investment. Fly Humboldt is a community-based coalition of businesses, organizations, and citizens dedicated to getting more flights to more destinations. We know that reliable and affordable air service is a critical part of a healthy community. For more information, visit flyhumboldt.org or find us on Facebook.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Times, 8:48. We're back, final segment of the morning with Victor Aguilar and Paul Kraft from the California Highway Patrol. Guys, as distracted driving, as things are going on, as there are these changes in community expectations, I guess that's probably, or societal expectations, how different are we in our region versus when you're talking to your compadres down in, let's say, San Diego or LA or Bakersfield or Fresno?
Bakersfield.
Yeah, I know. I had to bring in all the hot spots.
That's really hard.
Are there changes? Are there differences? Are there things that they have to contend with that you don't, and vice versa?
Absolutely. And I worked in Bakersfield for 9 years.
Gee, I wonder how I knew that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I passed a psychological interview before getting this job, believe it or not.
That would be the transfer up? Yeah.
But, yeah, when I transferred to Humboldt in 2012, it was culture shock, absolute culture shock. And at the time, I had been doing this job for 11 years. And just by virtue of transferring to a different part of the state, whole new set of instances, problems, people, good and bad. And you adapt, you figure out the learning curve, and you go with the flow once again. When I worked in the Bay Area, it was completely different than working in the Central Valley. Different violations, different attitudes. It's like California. Doing this job, the diversity doesn't end, 10 steps out of your doorstep. It's go anywhere in the state, and it's, it is California.
Hey, and that's why it's called the California Highway Patrol. Thanks for coming by, guys.
Thank you.
See you right tomorrow.